Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You listen to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Coming up in 30 minutes, we are very happy to be joined by the chairman and CEO, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt, will be on the show coming up in exactly 30 minutes. The owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt, will be on the show coming up in 30 minutes. You listen to The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brinton producing this thing, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Well, the draft is in. All the picks have been submitted, and the Kansas City Chiefs have sent a clear message to the rest of the NFL. And the message to me is a very simple and concise one. What happened to us in the Super Bowl is never going to happen to us again. Let's be honest here. We all underestimated how big the problem was with the Chiefs when it came to their offensive line and their ability to protect Patrick Mahomes. I was here. I heard the overconfidence from Chiefs fans when we discussed the Tampa Bay defensive line going up against Kansas City's offensive line in that game. Let's call it what it is. Tampa Bay's defensive line pushed Kansas City's offensive line around. They played bully ball. They punked them. Whatever term you want to use when it came to what we saw Tampa Bay do to Kansas City, that is exactly what happened in this year's Super Bowl. And we can now say pretty definitively now, over a three-month time frame, the Chiefs' offensive line went from being an abject failure at their offensive line to possibly one of the more talented units in the league. Let's say that everything works out exactly how Chiefs fans would want it to work out. So at left tackle, we're talking about Orlando Brown. At left guard, we're talking Joe Tooney. At center, Creed Humphrey, 63rd overall pick out of Oklahoma. At right guard, let's say that Trey Smith out of Tennessee emerges, who certainly the talent is there. The medicals maybe didn't check out, but no one is denying the physical ability of Trey Smith. He somehow wins out the job and plays right guard. And then at right tackle, Lucas Niang, fresh off the opt-out, comes in, balls out, wins a job. We're talking about their oldest offensive lineman being 28 years old and arguably the best player at his position in Joe Tooney. Or, if fully healthy, Kyle Long, who on a one-year deal you love. The one thing that we needed to see this offensive line do was be more physical. I didn't see a whole lot of that last year, whether it was in pass blocking, whether it was in run blocking. I thought we saw a lot last season that the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and the greatness of this offense simply was a band-aid over the very obvious problem of their offensive line. Now, injuries certainly played a major part. Schwartz had been an Iron Man up to that point in his career. He missed significant time. Eric Fisher goes out in the AFC Championship game. You know what happened with the offensive line. But it became pretty clear that this offense wasn't physical enough. They weren't going to win battles at the point of attack. They weren't going to dominate teams on the line of scrimmage. They weren't going to be a team that ran the ball incredibly successful. So Brett Veach was really tasked with one responsibility. Brett Veach had one thing he needed to do this offseason for a team that didn't really need to get a lot done. They were faced with, I would say, one of the biggest problems of any Super Bowl contending team. Their offensive line was broken. We went into the final week leading into the draft without knowing who their left tackle was going to be and waiting to see what they came out with at the NFL draft. We now have a pretty definitive answer. They've spent a lot of resources at those positions, but you're also looking at it where you would not be surprised if this is one of the top 10 most talented offensive lines in the NFL. You go from in your last game having Mike Remmers, who is one of the worst left tackles we've ever seen, to now Orlando Brown, a promising Pro Bowl, all-pro type player who's settling in at a position and could possibly be better than what you had at left tackle. You're talking about Joe Tooney, who could be the best player at his position. Creed Humphrey, who was a three-year starter at Oklahoma and has not given up a sack in 3 years, one of the better interior offensive line prospects in this entire draft. This feels very similar to me to what happened back in 2018 with the defense. There was one thing that needed to be fixed. Their defense wasn't good enough. Now fast forward to 2021. There was one thing that needed to be fixed. It was their offensive line. We can talk about linebacker and wide receiver and tight end and all these other positions on the field. Very simply put, their offensive line was not good enough. And now you feel that it is. Here's Andy Reid on the overhauled offensive line.
Listen, we hadn't done a whole lot to that area for a bit, and we've got good players coming back too. So we've got this great competition that'll take place, and Adam, that brings out the best in all of us. So, as a player, you sit there, and I've talked to the guys about this. I mean, Brett's going to go do his job, and he's going to try to keep the competition high, and let's not run from that. Let's attack it. And what it'll do is, if you handle it right, it brings out the best in you down the road. So embrace the competition and keep on working to make yourself even better and thus the team better. And that's what Brett's done with the offensive line. He's just added some great competition in there.
Absolutely. They have certainly added a lot of great competition. One position group, or maybe two position groups, you can, I think, now say pretty definitively they haven't added great competition would be a wide receiver and corner. Now, I know what you guys are going to say. You call me corner dot and say that I spend too much time talking about it and that we should trust the track record of Brett Veach. They haven't made a single upgrade at the position. Now, Bashaud Breeland is still out there, and we are at the point now where if you sign a veteran, you don't give up a compensatory pick, or that team doesn't gain a compensatory pick. So I don't think that they're done at the position. But for a team who had made sort of their name on taking flyers and swings at corner in rounds 4, 5, and 6, this year they did not take a swing or a flyer on a corner 4, 5, and 6. If you now want to talk about the spot on their off or their defense where they've spent the fewest amount of resources, where they have the fewest resources tied up into, it is now pretty definitively corner. As of now, their corners are Snead, Charvarius Ward, Bo Pete Keys, Rashad Fenton, DeAndre Baker, who's coming off a significant injury. So a lot still needs to be done at the position. They just passed on an opportunity to improve at least via draft at corner. So we'll see if they go sign up Rashad Breeland. Richard Sherman is still out there. There's still some help at the cornerback position. But as of the draft, the Chiefs are telling us they don't see corner as a significant need. They also took a gamble at wide receiver. Veach said before the draft that he liked this wide receiver group. They had great hopes and expectations for Byron Pringle, and they haven't really made a significant upgrade at wide receiver. And we can talk about their draft pick, Cornell, out of Clemson, but they didn't certainly spend a significant resource at the position. I mean, right now at wide receiver, after Tyreek Hill, I know that's a big, but after Tyreek Hill, they are virtually unproven at wide receiver. Mecole Hardman, who seems like more of a gadget type change of pace guy than an every down wide receiver. DeMarcus Robinson, who has never been an every down wide receiver. Byron Pringle, who's 28 years old, has 26 career catches in his career, certainly hasn't proven that he's an every down wide receiver in the NFL. Antonio Callaway, and they just picked up Cornell Powell, who is a physical monster coming out of Clemson, had a good year last year, but has really only put it together for one season in maybe the best situation in college football. So the Chiefs came away with a lot of things that I like in this draft. I think they valued athleticism. I think they told us what they deemed to be their biggest position of need, which was linebacker, spending their first draft pick out of Nick Bolton, hashtag MIZ. And also continuing to solidify and fortify that offensive line with Creed Humphrey. I like the Chiefs draft. You know I love the draft pick of Nick Bolton. Creed Humphrey, to me, makes a lot of sense. They don't have a long-term plan at center. They don't have a long-term plan at right guard. I think Creed Humphrey could fit in well at both of those spots. I like both of those selections. I think on day three, they gambled on athleticism, which that's what you're supposed to do on day three. Trey Smith, physical freak. Joshua Kando, physical freak. Top five recruit coming out of high school. So you can see what their draft strategy was. They've completely solidified their offensive line. They made a significant upgrade at linebacker and a significant addition at linebacker. And right now we're wondering what the plan is at cornerback and wide receiver. There's still some free agents. We still got cuts. There's still some ways to improve. But I think the Chiefs told us the positions they didn't feel like they were good at and strong at, and the ones that they do feel like they were strong at. Coming up in 20 minutes, speaking of the Chiefs, we're very happy to be joined by Chairman and CEO Clark Hunt. Clark Hunt will be on the show coming up in exactly 20 minutes. But first, let's talk some Royals baseball. They're 6-10. They're on top of the American League Central, and the prospects are coming. We'll get to that next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is your home for Royals baseball. 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in exactly 15 minutes, we will be joined by the chairman, CEO, and owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt, friend of the show, friend of The Drive. Clark Hunt will be on the show coming up at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. Look at the cubicle to your left, look at the cubicle to your right, and tell them happy Daniel Lynch Day. The first of the Royals' prospect of pitchers has been called up and will make his major league debut today against the Cleveland Indians. Here's J.J. Piccolo on Daniel Lynch making his debut.
Well, it's certainly an exciting day, not only for Daniel, but his family, friends that are all going to be here in attendance. And then, the scouting staff gets to celebrate this. The development department gets to celebrate it, but ultimately, Daniel's done all the work. He's done a great job. He's prepared. We've talked about him several times. He's just a wonderful individual who's earned the right to get this start tonight, and hopefully it's the first of many to come.
This is a really exciting day if you are a member of the Kansas City Royals fan base. We certainly have looked at and discussed the wave of prospects and how this feels very similar to the wave that we just saw. If you look at the building blocks and the foundational pieces, Chris Bubich up now with the Kansas City Royals, Daniel Lynch up with the Kansas City Royals. We expect to see more of this over the next couple of months. And you need to be encouraged as the Royals, to me, are starting to position themselves in a way that you really need to take them seriously.
Not only are they positioning themselves in a way to take them seriously long term, this is a clear sign to everyone in the city, everyone in baseball, everyone who will listen. The Royals are interested in winning. I mean, making the playoffs, winning, not just we had a cute little 83-79 season. We had a fun April. They have gone out of their way. They said it all off season, and now they're sitting with actions. This is a move that a team believes they can win. Jacob Junis has been good this season for the Royals. He's been a good starting pitcher. He's been a plus. Everyone in town who follows this team is pleasantly surprised with Jacob Junis. They went, did yesterday, I guess early today, and said, Jacob, you've been great. You're going to go make our bullpen better because we have someone better than you. We're pushing you out because we have a better player. This is what teams that win do. They have a top prospect, and they don't wait around and say, oh, maybe this guy can scratch out a 4 ERA and maybe we can move him. No, they moved into the bullpen, and they said, we just strengthen our bullpen and our starting rotation. The Royals are interested in doing some real winning this season.
Are you surprised at the timing of all of this? Because typically this is a move that a team would make if they need to kind of give their roster a little bit of a jolt and a jumpstart. That's obviously not what the Royals need. They're 16-10. They're one of the best teams in Major League Baseball, and they're in first place in their division. And when you think about it, the move that they made with Jacob Junis, he's been one of their better starting pitchers. Like, if you're going to make a move, maybe you make a move with Brad Keller, where he comes up with a phantom arm injury, and then you allow Daniel Lynch to come up here and make his debut. I'm a little bit surprised at the timing and the player they decided to move down, because Junis has been one of the bright spots on this roster.
I'm a little surprised, but I'm also not stunned. Daniel Lynch, everything you hear about Daniel Lynch, from spring training to last year to the alternate site, et cetera, it's been rave reviews. It was only a matter of time before he came up. They're not looking to get a jolt in the arm in attendance because they've had some dog days. They're not looking to, all right, it's time to give up the experiment. They are looking to win. They believe Daniel Lynch can help them win. And when I say win, again, I don't mean like, you know, this scrappy bunch went 82-80. What a season. The Royals really truly believe in their heart of hearts they can push for the wild card. They took the first place, best team in baseball, and said, not good enough. We got to get better. So I'm a little surprised by the timing, but the timing is really exciting to me because they have made their intentions clear.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll be joined by Clark Hunt, chairman, CEO, owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Clark Hunt coming up in exactly 10 minutes. Whit Merrifield was on Cody and Gold earlier today. Here's what he had to say about Daniel Lynch, who gets the call up.
You feel the energy. You really do. Whenever somebody gets called up, whether it be position player-wise, pitcher-wise, starting pitcher-wise especially, you feel that energy. You feel that I don't want to say rejuvenation because we're in a really good spot right now as a team, but, you know, there's that freshness to it. There's almost like a youth aspect when a young guy comes up and makes his debut that it just gets your juices flowing a little bit more than say, a normal game would. So we're fired up for Daniel. He's obviously a great talent and hoping that he just settles in out there and pitches his game and realizes that all he's got to do is execute his plan, pitch his pitches, and he'll be just fine. He doesn't have to do any more than he needs to. So we're excited to play behind him and look forward to a good outing tonight.
It certainly is an exciting time to be a Royals fan, as after the first month of the season, the Royals have done more than just tread water. They're one of the best teams in baseball. And Jacob Junis has certainly been a major part of that. Hopefully, we'll see Daniel Lynch be a major part of that as he makes his major league debut right here on 610 Sports Radio as Kansas City comes back home for a 7-game homestand against Cleveland and Chicago. Clark Hunt coming up at the bottom of the hour. Before we catch up with the chairman and CEO of the Kansas City Chiefs, we got to talk about Brad Keller, who I said on this show, I needed a 6-start sample size of Brad Keller before I was ready to come to any conclusions. I didn't want to overreact to opening day and just see one start and form some massive conclusion or opinion. We have now seen 6 starts this season from Brad Keller. Not many of them have gone well for the Royals, quote unquote, ace and best pitcher. We had Danny Duffy on this show say that he believed that Brad Keller had the best stuff. We have not seen that stuff. Another, I would say, disappointing start from him. 4 1/3, 6 hits, 7 runs, 2 of them earned. Continues to put guys on base and walking them with a 16-12 strikeout to walk ratio and has an 8 ERA in his first 6 starts of the season. We're talking about a fifth of the season. You're talking about expecting your number one guy to make between 32 and 35 starts. So right now we're at that 1/5 if we're talking about 30 starts. Brad Keller has been the most disappointing player so far on this roster. At least when it comes to Hunter Dozier, there's at least a built-in asterisk when we're talking about the injury and what we've seen so far. Brad Keller, Rob, has been the most disappointing player so far on this roster.
And it's not really close. I mean, I kept thinking Brad Keller will eventually regress into being the player we think he is, but he's only had one good start this season. I guess one and a half, you count that Angels start as good, but he mowed down the Tigers, but the Tigers, so grain of salt. And I know his defense let him down a little bit yesterday, and you know that's an issue we have with the Royals is a different, whole different ball game, but we'll talk about that some other time. But you're right. It's not just the two earned runs. It's not just the six hits. It's he put four guys on, two by hit by pitch and a walk. Like, it's you just can't continue to put guys on first base. Your defense lets you down. That stinks, and I feel for him. But he's done this to himself, and we talked about this morning. I am stunned that we haven't heard phantom Tyler Bray injury. That was always the Chiefs' go-to move. Tyler Bray got hurt in the none preseason games he played. He's going the IR. We won't see him all season. I thought we were going to get some, you know, elbow tightness, shoulder fatigue, something of that capacity injury with Brad Keller. They could put him on the IL and maybe kind of work on some issues, tweak some things. But he has been a major disappointment because he's been the Royals' worst pitcher.
I mean, the Royals have 16 of their next 18 games are games in the division. So it's going to be pretty telling to see how the Royals play it here with Keller over the next 3 weeks or so. The games are starting to get more and more important. Obviously, you're playing games in your division so you can create separation or fall back to the pack, so to speak, with yourself and the other teams in the division. Right now, you're six games up on the Minnesota Twins, only one and a half games up on the Chicago White Sox, but obviously very early on in the season. This team cannot make the playoffs without Brad Keller, and I do think we can at the point where we can start at least acknowledging the P word. This team has a chance to make the playoffs. They will not be able to do it without a much better version of Brad Keller. So getting Brad Keller back aligned and back on course is one of the most important things that this team needs to do this season. Coming up in exactly 5 minutes, we will be joined by the chairman, the CEO, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Clark Hunt will be on the show coming up at the bottom of the hour. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app, the official broadcasting partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Very happy right now to be joined by friend of the show, chairman and CEO, owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt, joins us on the show today. Clark, it's good talking to you again.
Hey, great to be on with you today. Today's an exciting day here, getting some really good players.
Absolutely. Before we get going, I saw the picture earlier with everybody in the staff wearing the All Juice Team shirts as someone who was really close to Therese, to see you guys support for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Therese was somebody who was an incredibly special person, somebody who did an awesome job of covering the Chiefs for 6 or 7 years, somebody that I always enjoyed talking to. His preparation was incredible. Somebody that always brought a smile to your face. We're incredibly, you know, sorry for his loss, and our thoughts are with his family and his fiance as well.
So moving to the football, last time we talked to you heading into the Super Bowl, everything had been going nearly perfect for the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, the result wasn't what you expected. What have the last months been like after the Super Bowl?
Well, obviously, the Super Bowl itself was incredibly disappointing, coming on the heels of one of the greatest seasons in franchise history. But the one silver lining from a bad experience like losing the Super Bowl is it gives you an incredible motivation to work really hard to try to get back on top. And that's exactly what Brett Veach and his staff have done over the last 6-7 weeks. You look at what they've done in free agency, what they've done over the last couple of days in the draft, and then, of course, the Orlando Brown trade. He's really revamped the entire offensive line, which was one of our issues against the Bucs. And so I think as we head into 2021, you know, Patrick's really going to be playing behind the best offensive line he's had a chance to play behind yet. I know he's excited about it. Andy Reid's excited about it. So great job by Brett and his team.
You're one of the few people that can answer this. Which was the greater feeling, the joy of winning the Super Bowl or the pain of losing the Super Bowl?
You know, very hard question to answer. Usually the losses are harder than any victory. I always say that, you know, for every loss, it takes two or three victories to emotionally get you over it. Certainly Super Bowl 54 and the joy of winning the Super Bowl 50 years after the team had won its first Super Bowl, I'll never be able to adequately put that into words. So I don't know that I can compare them. On the one hand, it was great, and on the other hand, it was very, very disappointing.
You called this potentially the greatest offensive line that Patrick has played behind. I feel like Brett and the front office was in the same position they were after the AFC Championship loss. You had to completely retool one part of the team to get it up to a championship level. How would you evaluate the job they've done with going to have five new starters on that O-line?
Yeah, well, I think that's a really interesting comparison, and you're exactly right. Coming off the AFC Championship loss, 2 years ago, there was a lot of work that had to happen on the defensive side, and Brett did a great job of bringing in some free agents, Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark, drafting some players to add to the mix, and really turned what had been a weakness into a strength. And I think in a lot of ways he's done the same thing here in the last 2 months with offensive line. I would mention that before we had the injuries, we had a very good offensive line last year. And I don't want to minimize the talent or the effort of that group of players. Fisher and Schwartz and their teammates, they did a fantastic job for us in many cases for almost a decade. So that was a great line, but unfortunately, through injury, we were down to some backups by the time we got to the Super Bowl. And just the way things played out in the offseason, Brett really needed to make it a focus and to revamp it. And you're right, as we stare at next year, we're looking at probably five new starters on the offensive line versus what we had last year. So it's going to be completely revamped. But I think the great news is it's not with unknown players, right? We're getting a Pro Bowl left tackle, a Pro Bowl left guard. We brought in some veterans that have experience playing on the interior. We drafted Creed Humphrey yesterday to add to the mix. So I think we've got a lot to look forward to, and I would give Brett very high marks for the job he's done.
Right now we're talking to the owner and chairman of the Kansas City Chiefs, Clark Hunt. This has been an offseason of big swings. One big swing was Trent Williams. We've kind of heard some different reports about how close Kansas City was to Trent Williams. We weren't talking about chump change here. Trent Williams signed a six-year, $130 million deal. How involved were you in the pursuit of Trent Williams?
Yeah, well, any time that we're involved in a trade or the signing of a player to an expensive long-term contract, I'm always going to be in those discussions with both Brett and Andy and their staffs. And, certainly on the one hand, it didn't work out for us with Trent, but we were able to bounce back from that a few weeks later with signing Orlando. And there's a lot to like about both players and their situation, so I don't want to get into comparing them. But we certainly, feel like we ended up in a good place with Orlando. And I tell you what, I've had a couple of conversations with him since we made the trade, and he might be one of the most articulate young men who is so excited to be a Kansas City Chief. I don't really remember somebody who's reached out to me just to express how excited he is to be coming here. And he's coming from a very good situation in Baltimore. I mean, that's a fantastic team and organization. But he's somebody that I think our fans are really going to embrace, and he wants to be a Kansas City Chief.
Orlando was actually on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I told him that I was surprised we were even having that conversation. When we were talking about potential left tackles for the Chiefs, his name didn't really come up because I didn't think there was a chance that Baltimore would trade a left tackle to Kansas City. How surprised were you that Baltimore was willing to make a deal with you guys, given you two's track record?
Yeah, to tell the truth, I was very surprised. And I give Brett and his staff a lot of credit for how they managed that process. They knew that if they were too early in pursuing Orlando, that it would probably backfire and we wouldn't be able to get him. And so they exercised some patience and waited till we were getting pretty close to the draft. And usually those type of deals happen close to the draft, before the draft, a week or so. And they just felt that the opportunity was there, and they struck. And it wasn't an easy deal to get done. Certainly, I think the Ravens had a little bit of concern about sending him our way. But at the end of the day, Brett was able to get it done. for what I think was very reasonable compensation, given the quality of the player we're getting. So great job by Brett.
One thing I haven't heard you comment on is Alex Smith. You obviously have a great history with Alex Smith. He retired. You know everything that he's been through. What do you think of sort of his retiring and moving on to the next phase of his life?
Yeah, well, thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk about Alex, because certainly if you look at the recent history of the Kansas City Chiefs, you cannot speak highly enough about Alex Smith and everything he brought to our organization. He came in with Andy Reid to a situation, you know, where the team had really, really struggled, particularly at the quarterback situation at that position. And you know, overnight made us one of the better teams in the league. I mean, we started that first year with Alex and Andy. We won 9 straight games, and Alex certainly gets a lot of credit for that. There's been a lot of talk about the job that he did in mentoring Patrick Mahomes and how he handled that, the class individual that he was. And I just, you know, can't speak highly enough about his time here in Kansas City. And then we all know his recovery from the horrific injury in Washington over the last 2 or 3 years. You know, very, very sad that, you know, that was part of his career. But again, I respect him tremendously for being willing to come back from an injury that many people would have hung up their cleats and said, I can't play football anymore. And I certainly wish him all the best in retirement. I hope we get to see him in Kansas City sometimes. Certainly the door is always open here.
I have to ask you a question about Patrick Mahomes. You know that there is a certain quota I have to hit with asking you questions about him. One thing that I think you guys do incredibly well that I don't know if it's too common around the NFL is you guys always go above and beyond, I think, to give Patrick the support he needs. He needs a running back. You draft one in round one. He needs a new offensive line. You do it. How important is it as an organization to give him the resources he needs to go out and be great?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a core part of the philosophy of how Brett has built the Chiefs, and also – I think it's consistent with Andy Reid's mindset in terms of how you make a strength an even bigger strength. Clearly, we're fortunate to have Patrick here in Kansas City, you know, probably the greatest quarterback of his generation. And I know he's only 3 or 4 years into his career, but, you know, certainly he's gotten off on a very fast start. And, you know, Brett and Andy have made it a focus to give him the tools that he needs to show his talent, because they think that's the best way for the Kansas City Chiefs to win. So it's definitely part of the philosophy, and Brett's done a great job with it here over the last few years.
Every time you and I talk, there's a new update with Patrick Mahomes' life. He is now a minority owner with the Kansas City Royals. He is now a father. What advice have you given him about being an owner? What advice have you given him about being a new father?
Yeah. Well, we actually haven't talked about being an owner. But I know he'll be a good one. We all know what a great baseball player Patrick was earlier in his career. And I just think he has a tremendous demeanor and way about him. And I'm sure he'll be a big asset for the Royals, regardless of how they choose to use him in the organization. As a father, he and I have had a little conversation. I've got two girls. You know, mine are a little bit older than his, but we've talked about just how precious and beautiful little girls are and what a blessing they are. So I know he's going to be an incredible father as well.
This upcoming season should be different than any season we've seen before. We're adding another regular season game, which you guys are going to be hosting against the Green Bay Packers, also trying to get back to full capacity. How excited are you to get back to, quote unquote, life as normal?
Yeah, well, I think we all are, right? Regardless of you know, what you do, where you work, what you enjoy doing from a pastime, you know, being able to get back to normal is incredibly important. And the faster we can do it, I think it's, you know, better for everybody. We're certainly hopeful in the National Football League that we're going to be able to have full stadiums this fall. There are, you know, some hurdles that have to be jumped over between now and then. The rollout of the vaccine, that's got to continue to go well. But we're very excited about the prospect of being able to have a full Arrowhead Stadium. A full Arrowhead is a big asset for the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of helping our football team win games. So the sooner that can happen, the better. We're certainly planning on it, and I look forward to seeing our fans, you know, back at Arrowhead and tailgating before the game.
So Patrick's excited about it. I'm excited about it. Kansas City is excited about it. Whataburger is coming into town. They're putting a food truck outside Kauffman Stadium. Is there any chance that we could get this food truck outside Arrowhead Stadium?
Well, I read about the food truck, and I thought that was a fun thing for them to do. I know what a fan Patrick is of Whataburger, so we'll just have to see how that goes.
I'm imagining that you love Whataburger. Like, you're from Texas, you spent a lot of time in Texas. I'm imagining you love it the same way I do.
I like any hamburger, but the truth is I don't like my hamburgers nearly as much as Andy.
No, I don't know if anybody does. That is Clark Hunt. He is the chairman. He is the CEO, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's also a friend of the drive, joining us today as the Chiefs continue what has been a stellar offseason for them. Clark, it's always an honor to get a chance to talk to you and keep us updated on what's happening with the team. Thanks for coming on.
Will do. Thank you very much.
I mean, it's not every day, you know, you can just catch up with an old pal. You know what I mean, Rob? It's not every day that you can just, you know, sit back, kick back, and relax and catch up with an old buddy, an old compadre. That's what I look at Clark Hunt as. It's like a friend to me. You know what I mean? Big homie, big bro. That's kind of what I look at Clark Hunt as being to this show. So always good to catch up with the chairman, CEO, and owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Clark Hunt is he joined us on the show today. I look at this offseason as being the offseason of big swings. Brett Veach has this moniker of being aggressive and being all in. It's hard to really deny it when you look at the results. Back in 2018, they were certainly all in on improving their defense. They took a major swing. They pick up Tyrann Mathieu in free agency. They go out the week of the draft and trade for Frank Clark, give up the resources to go acquire him also with the contract. I would consider those to be big swings. This offseason, when you look at what their number one priority was, which was their offensive line, they took a major swing on Trent Williams. You missed. But then when you look at what they did connect on, they pick up on Joe Tooney, probably the second best free agent offensive lineman that was available. You then look at Orlando Brown, who was probably the second or third best, depending on where you rate Penei Sewell, offensive tackle that was on the board behind Trent Williams. They then go pick him up in a trade and take away from their rival while adding to themselves. They're not done. They pick up, I would say, if we're talking about guys who opted out and didn't play last season, certainly multiple teams were interested in Kyle Long. They get Kyle Long. I mean, this team, this offseason, at least when it came to what we deem to be their number one need, they took massive swings. And we talked about it this offseason, how the Chiefs were in on a lot of players and didn't connect on those players. It's hard to argue what the plan eventually turned out to be on offensive line. Sure, you missed out on Trent Williams, a guy they probably wanted more than anybody else. I mean, they got plan B, C, D, and E when we're talking about their offensive line. Orlando Brown at left tackle, Tooney at left guard, Creed Humphrey, center, right guard, I would say up for grabs. Maybe you want to give LDT the nod. Maybe you want to give it to Kyle Long. We'll see how Trey Smith develops. He might be the most physically gifted offensive lineman that the Chiefs currently have. And then at right tackle, it's a competition between Lucas Niang, a rookie that you certainly have a lot of hope for and promise for, and also Mike Rimmers, who I think is a fine right tackle. So the Chiefs took major swings. They connected on a lot of those swings. Coming up in a little bit, we'll talk about the top story in the NFL as Aaron Rodgers is just, he's mad. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers coming up here in just a little bit. Rob, I want to ask you a question really quickly before we talk about Aaron Rodgers, because you have a lot of bad Chiefs opinions. I don't know why you have a lot of bad Chiefs opinions. You follow, you watch this team, you live here, but for some reason, you don't have good opinions. So one of your stances is that Alex Smith isn't a Chiefs Hall of Famer, not a Chiefs Ring of Honor guy. I strongly disagree. I think you're going to end up being wrong, but that's kind of par for the course for you. I get it. This weekend, Tim Grunhard is in the Chiefs Hall of Fame and Ring of Honor. Now, I'm not saying this to disrespect Tim Grunhard. Good man. I've had the opportunity of meeting him a couple of times. I know what he means to this city. I know what he means to this organization. Tim Grunhard is a great guy. But if you're telling me that they're letting guys into the Chiefs Hall of Fame who only made the Pro Bowl one time Just go ahead and put Alex Smith in right now. Why are we even going through a waiting period? The day that Alex Smith decided that he wanted to retire, he should have had a one-day contract with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they should have just put him in the Ring of Honor. If we're saying now the bar you need to clear to be in the Chiefs Ring of Honor is, was your career better than Tim Grunhard? We got to start talking about a lot of people going into the Chiefs Ring of Honor if that's now the bar you need to clear. I'm not saying that to disparage Tim Grunhard's career. He certainly is an all-time great Chief, a cult hero, a fan favorite. Got love for Tim Grunhard. But if we're saying guys that went to one Pro Bowl are in the Chiefs Hall of Fame and some of the all-time great for the Chiefs, we don't need to debate Dwayne Bowe. We don't need to debate whether or not Alex Smith is going into the Chiefs Hall of Fame or not, because he absolutely is.
So there's two different conversations here. First and foremost, I agree with you. Tim Grunhard is an A-plus individual. I've had many opportunities to speak with him. He's one of the best people in the city. What his impact is off the field for the Chiefs is immeasurable. I'm happy for him, the man. But there's two conversations here. One, who I think should and shouldn't be in the Chiefs Ring of Honor, and I wish the Chiefs were a little tighter on that. Tim Grunhard, A-plus human being, one Pro Bowl, should not be in the Ring of Honor. Alex Smith, another A-plus human being, battled back, had a great career at the Chiefs. He's like fourth all-time in touchdowns, should not be in the Ring of Honor. But I don't run the Chiefs Ring of Honor. I would treat it like a real Hall of Fame. I would want people who have incredible accomplishments to get into the Ring of Honor. The Chiefs do not view it this way. The Chiefs view it as, hey, you were pretty good here. The fans liked you, and we liked you. Come on in. Grunhard's in. Alex Smith is no doubt now getting in. I have no doubt about this. You know, Priest Holmes will be in one day if he's not already. Tony Richardson, a fullback, will go in. Super. Dwayne Bowe, trick the box. I can't wait for every Chief to go in the Ring of Honor, because apparently all you have to do is have played for the team and you get greenlit in. It's ridiculous, but I don't run it. Someone over there runs it, and they are very, very, very forgiving about accomplishments.
You know who now is probably the happiest at this development? Daniel Sorensen.
Oh, Daniel Sorensen will be in. He was on a Super Bowl team. He's in.
I mean, if Tim Grunhard is a Chiefs Ring of Honor guy, Daniel Sorensen now has a realistic shot. We got to start putting a little bit more respect on Daniel Sorensen's name. Text line, I see how you guys every draft want to draft over Daniel Sorensen, and then every training camp you see somebody, you bat your eyelashes at him, and you want to replace him. We got to start calling him future Chiefs Ring of Honor member Daniel Sorensen. If Tim Grunhard is in the Chiefs Ring of Honor, you're telling me that Sorensen has no chance of being in the Ring of Honor? They should put Sorensen's name right there next to Derek Thomas and Neil Smith. That's where they should put, right there. They should go ahead and just empty out a space right there. And then when you look up and say, huh, why is that space empty? They're saving it for Daniel Sorensen. That's what I would suggest the Chiefs to do. I don't know who I need to tell that information to. I guess I should have told that to Clark. He was just on there. But I'm going to go ahead and give them that. Go ahead and get ahead of this thing, because it's better to be proactive than reactive. Let's go ahead right now and put Daniel Sorensen in the Chiefs Ring of Honor.
Text line is cooking me. You know what's going to happen? The Chiefs are going to announce in like 10 years that Sammy Watkins Day at Ring of Honor Day, and the text line is going to be on my side that day. But guess what, text line? No matter how good of an individual or person you are, you should not be in the Hall of Fame for being a Hall of Great person. That's not how this works. But again, I don't run the Chiefs Ring of Honor. I don't run the Royals Hall of Fame. They're going to let everyone under the sun in those two Hall of Fames, and I'm going to look like a fool, but that's just life.
Text line 913-576-7610. This is blasphemy. Tim was an all-time great on the offensive line. I love Tim Grunhard too. All-time greats pushing it, especially for an organization that has had legit all-time greats. I mean, they got guys who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that have played on the offensive line the same time that Tim Grunhard was there. I like Tim Grunhard. Great Chief. That's what the Chiefs ambassador seems to be for, to celebrate guys like Tim Grunhard. Guys you want to go see at Price Chopper, guys you want to see at Hy-Vee, guys when you see him out, you want to take a picture with him. Got nothing but love for Tim Grunhard. He made the Pro Bowl one time. He didn't make anything else, not an All-Pro, not an All-Decade team. He wouldn't be on the All-Chiefs team. He's in the Ring of Honor. Salute to him and his family. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, who are 16-10 and in first place in the American League Central. They're coming home for a 7-game homestand against Cleveland and Chicago. But before we do that, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers, who has simply complained all weekend through the media.
Frustrations with the organization. Yes, he wants the organization to commit to him financially. There have been long-term contract extension talks, but obviously they are not to a point yet where Rodgers feels like he knows that he is going to be the guy, not just for 2021, but also beyond. Obviously, that is something he is seeking. And he, of course, has been frustrated, Tom, with the selection of Jordan Love. And worth noting, not that it matters, the Packers actually wanted two different receivers, including Justin Jefferson, before they ended up trading up for Jordan Love. Who knows if that actually makes a difference for anything. And then Rodgers, I'm told, also wanted to be more involved in some of the personnel decisions. This is crazy, but it does seem like the one thing that drove Rodgers nuts was when the organization released Jay Kumerow just a day after he praised him publicly, described as a little bit of a death knell in the relationship. So much here to fix, and I know the Packers are now trying to fix
it. Aaron, come on now. Aaron Rodgers wants me to believe that the straw that broke the camel's back with him in the management of the Green Bay Packers was Jake Kumerow. That's what he wants me to believe. So he wants me to believe that things were already teetering. And you know the thing that really sent him over the edge and said, I can't work here anymore, was them releasing Jake Kumerow. Raise your hand if you knew who Jake Kumerow was. Raise your hand if you had ever heard about him, knew what position he played, or who he was as a person. I'd never heard of this man before. But now, this is when it got so bad for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay that he said, how can I work here anymore? This would be like Patrick Mahomes after all the Kansas City Chiefs have done for him, that they let Derek Jeter go, and he goes to Andy and says, how dare you not listen to me? Pat, look at what we've given you. Look at what we spent on the O-line. Look at what we've done at wide receiver and running back. You're telling me this is the point of no return? I've never met Aaron Rodgers, but we certainly have all read the reports. And he just seems like a very difficult individual. That we only allow him being difficult is because he's otherworldly at it, playing quarterback in the NFL. And there aren't many people who are otherworldly at playing quarterback in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers wants to be a boss. Aaron, I hate to tell you this. You are a worker. You're a pretty important worker, but you're a worker. By definition, you are an employee. He wants to make management decisions. That's not your job. Your job is to continue to play quarterback at a high level. You do that better than almost anybody who's ever played the position. It's always somebody else with Aaron and his happiness, is it not? It was a Mike McCarthy thing. Now it's their current general manager thing. Now it's a how dare you get rid of this wide receiver that I like, that we play words with friends. FaceTime them then. Zoom with them. Skype with them. Jake Kumerow was not the difference between you guys beating San Francisco a couple years ago or you guys beating Tampa Bay last year. Aaron Rodgers seems more mad about this than he was them kicking that field goal late in the fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game. That should have been the straw that broke the camel's back, not them releasing Jake Kumerow. It doesn't make any sense. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll catch up with the longtime voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews, Pro Baseball Hall of Famer, will join us to talk about the 16-10 Royals as they head back home for a 7-game series, all games in the division. That's next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.